Wow. Isn't that interesting? The Psalms, how they are, they cry out and God cries back. And I think he's not crying. He's just saying, "Why, God, why have you forsaken me?" And, but God is always there, isn't he? And I think Christians, Christ followers, know God personally. That's a wonderful thing. And you can, if you've never done it, you can do it. You can know and have a relationship with God personally. It's amazing. Now, we usually tell our side of the story and we share our thoughts and feelings about him. But like most of the psalmists, how they express their thoughts, laments, and delights, most of the psalms are songs of their life and their experience of God. But, I love the buts and the ifs, as you know. But Psalm 81, it is God who's speaking. Now, most of Asaph's psalms have been laments. But Psalm 81, however, opens a note of exuberant praise. Sing for joy to God, shout aloud. It is sung at one of Israel's festivals, where the chief cause for celebration is God's wonderful deliverance of his people from Egypt. The Passover, you know. Anyhow, the psalm takes a surprising turn when the psalmist hears an unknown voice, as the following verses make it clear, it's God's voice. God reminds Israel of his love for them, demonstrates it in the setting, and freeing and responding to their cries of distress, but that God sadly then laments. He says, "My people would not listen to me." Now, one scholar translates the second half of that verse as, "They did not want me." You ever have a relationship with somebody and they say, we don't think we want to be your friend no more? I think most of us can hear that pain in God's voice. His people have turned their backs on God, who loved them and gave them everything they need, yet broke the first commandment. "You shall have no other gods before me." Now, idolatry has always been humanity's primary act of rebellion. You can see that in Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 23. And it's rebellion against God. Again and again, we hear the emotion behind God's pleading for his people to worship him alone. "If you would only listen to me," 81 verse 8. He says, longing to pour his blessings on them, he would deliver them from all of their enemies and satisfy their hunger with the finest foods in the wilderness. God gave them water from a rock when they grumbled, Exodus 17. But they had repented and returned to him. Then, symbolically, the rock would have brought forth sweet honey. Psalm 81, verse 16. The psalm ends with God inviting them at his table for such a feast. Now, we all know relationships are risky. And there's always a risk of rejection when you get into a relationship. And when that relationship ends, it's painful. No doubt about that. We're human. Now, we cannot presume to comprehend all of God's emotions, though, because this psalm gives us a glimpse of God's sorrow that Israel would not listen to him. You know, Israel and us, the other humans all around. How often do we not listen to God and his plea to return to him? Now, Jesus expressed the same pain in his cry over Jerusalem. Similar, the Apostle Paul tells us that our sins grieve the Spirit of God, Ephesians 4. Never forget that God is love. Oh yeah, he is full of divine emotion also. Yep. So I challenge you to read Psalm 81 for yourself and go verse by verse and let it sink into your spirit and just reflect on how God punished Israel for rejecting him. Now, we are a vision of Israel because we are all part of that because of the way God had taught us through the scriptures in reference to Israel. But all of us are humans and all of us have been created by God. And God sometimes kind of treats people in the same way, you know? Romans chapter 1. Read it. So how do you feel when someone spurns your love? And what insights might that give you into the heart of God? Challenging, isn't it? You know, we had a bishop in United Methodist Church some years ago that I dearly loved. He was a black bishop, not that that means anything. He's just a wonderful man of God. And he said, you know, we got into this mess. And he says, butter or fat, you stomp my dog and I'll kick your cat. And what do? That's exactly what we do. We retaliate. We don't open up and try to understand and accept the grace and the love of forgiveness. We want to do it our way. But then it also says in Scripture, and God clearly said, you know, vengeance is mine, guys. Give it to me. Yeah. Do you ever do that? I have in my life when I was finally miserable and different things and challenging and wanted to manipulate and, you know, butter or fat, you stomp my dog, I'll kick your cat. You know, and to retaliate to people that I think did me wrong. A lot of them did, but I, you know what? I did a lot of people wrong too. So it's one of those things that when you finally understand God's love and grace, and you really take to the parable of the prodigal son and read it. I mean, now we always focus on the prodigal, but we also then focus on the son that said, hey, I served you all the days of my life, and now you want to have a party for this kid that run away with all the money and just, well, you know the story. But you know the central figure of that parable is who we're talking about today, is God, the Father. He opened his arms and welcomed us back into his fellowship and his kingdom, if we would only go. And, you know, see, all these things is our decision. And we can go. We don't have to go. God don't force his love upon us. But he loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son, that who shall ever believe in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Think about that. Oh, yeah, this life is kind of rough and hard sometimes, and we go through all kinds of stuff. But you know, and I paraphrase what the Apostle Paul says, so this is Ralphie's version, that if we only had this life to look forward to, we'd all be a sorry bunch of puppies. But praise be to God for the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the promise coming again. We have something to look forward to, eternal life. Jesus made it clear when he said, when I go, I'm going to go to my Father's house to prepare a place for you. Now, some translations say prepare a mansion for you, and I think that'd be cool. But the one translation I like is when he said, and I go to prepare for you a resting place. When this life is over, we got a chance to rest. Rest in the eternal arms of God Almighty forever and ever. Well, and we also will come back with him when he comes back to set up his kingdom on earth, because he wants well-trained saints in heaven. That's why we go through all this mess, by the way. We are in training. Yep, we're in training for eternity. Isn't that good news? I think it is. Well, God loves you, and so do I, and I hope and pray that you're having a good day, and thank you for tuning in to the Word is the Way to Life podcast as we look through the Psalm. This week, Psalm 81. Read it. Meditate on it. You will truly be blessed. In Jesus' name, have a good day.